Up first, though, right here in studio, braving these weather conditions to say hello and visit with us this afternoon from the Versant Power Astronomy Center and Jordan Planetarium. Sean Latch is with us. Thank you for making it in through the awfulness.
Yeah, it's not so nice out there right now. No. You know, a little bit, yeah. When my wife and I lived in the Netherlands, we would call this Dutch weather because often this sort of this rainy, windy, it was quite, yeah, that quite a lot there. So yeah, it's not the most fun stuff to be out in.
I feel like I lied too, because I said at the start of fall that I'm in for all of fall, not just the beauty of September and October that I like, and I do like the gray, raw days of November. But I forgot about this. Not a fan.
Yeah, this is not the most fun stuff, but. You know, I also grew up with the statement that, you know, there is no bad weather. There's just poor clothing choices.
Ah, well, there you go. That's it right there. But well said.
But it still is not fun.
Makes perfect sense. Although my dog, she doesn't understand at all.
Oh, yeah. Our two pups do not like the wet. They're both like, you're going to make us go outside and do what?
She went out this afternoon, went out on the porch, which has a roof, and was fine. And then looked at me, looked over her shoulder. It's seriously? No, no, whatever. I'll hold it. I'm good.
Right.
Goodness gracious. Well, let's start with the celebration. How is the anniversary celebration? How did it go? How does it continue to go?
Yeah, so we celebrated our 70th anniversary back on November 2nd, and it was a great event. We had, of course, the Joan Fernimundi, the president of the university there. We had John Flynn from Versant Power. And we had a number of former students who were able to come back and give testimonials, and also a video message from Alan Davenport, the previous director who retired a few years ago. So it was really nice to, you know, share some of those memories and some of the history of the facility. You know, the planetarium, like I say, started in 1954, so 3 years before Sputnik, and just to see the incredible variety of changes. And it's the 10th year of course, the new building, the Astronomy Center, which was Amera and now is Versant, and you know, so there's been changes there too. So yeah, it the event went very well. We formally kicked off our capital campaign, and I would urge folks on this upcoming Giving Tuesday to consider us. We are trying to raise funds to, of course, renovate the planetarium and bring us up to sort of the modern technology that we want to help carry the planetarium into the future and provide even more programming and more of a visualization tool for the university and beyond.
How can people do that if they'd like to help out?
They can go to, of course, our website, and there's a QR code there. If you scroll down to the bottom, there's a QR code there where you can donate. You can also just look up the University of Maine Foundation page and just designate your gift for the Versant Power Astronomy Center or the Jordan Planetarium, and either one will make it to us.
Excellent. Well, let's take a look at what's happening as we turn the calendar here, although we've got one more November show this Friday night, one last chance to see Global Soundscapes.
Yeah, if you need a break on Black Friday and want to get away from the shopping a little bit.
This is much better than shopping. God,
yeah, you know, it's one of those things. But Global Soundscapes, it's the final performance of that. That's a really interactive show. It takes a look at how we use sound to understand the environment around us. And it's been very well received. And of course, there's even a Island Soundscapes project here in Maine. And we had some special visitors from that back on the 15th that talked about that project. So it really is an interesting way of looking at how we use sound to understand the environment around us and the changes to the environment. It's pretty dramatic. They give some really beautiful examples of that as well. And even sound that's beyond our hearing, but that really is impacted by humans too. So it's a really fun program. Then, of course, on Sunday, hard to believe December's here. Where did the time go? But we start our December programming with, of course, Mystery of the Christmas Star at 2:00. This is sort of a historical look at what was in the sky around 2,000 years ago and how the, you know, Christmas ended up being dated where it is and some of the scientific explanations, but leaves it up to the, you know, the viewer to decide what that star was. And of course, the message of peace on Earth still is something important today. And then our music show for December is Let It Snow, which is a mix of holiday music, everything from Burl Ives, Frosty the Snowman, to Trans-Siberian Orchestra, to, you know, just a whole variety of holiday music, fun for the whole family, really nice program that the kids will love too. And we also still have that traveling program, Beautifica, which is going on too on Saturdays and Sundays. And also our Friday night show, which will start on the 6th, so a week from this Friday. And that's going to be Worlds of Ice. We take a look at the importance of ice in our environment, both at our polar caps and on glaciers, but then also ice in our solar system, but the overall importance of ice and how we're seeing the shrinkage of that ice and why that's important for us to be careful of.
Excellent. Well, check it all out in the month of December at the Versant Power Astronomy Center. What's up in the skies? What should we keep our eyes open for in the coming month?
Planets galore. Oh, so right now we have a really great opportunity to see planets in the evening sky. Venus over in the southwest right after sunset, which is the third brightest thing you're going to see. If you have a chance and have a set of good binoculars or a small telescope, take a look. You'll see it go through phases like our moon. Most people don't realize that planets, of course, are reflecting sunlight. They're not shining by their own light. And those planets interior to us, Mercury and Venus, actually go through phases. So that's kind of cool to see. Saturn is up in the southeast right at sunset and a little bit later in the evening, directly south. The rings are turning nearly edge-on. In fact, in March, they're going to be edge-on, so they will disappear for all intents and purposes for a month or so then. So do try and catch Saturn as well with its rings right now as they're getting narrower and narrower. And Jupiter is going to be at its absolute best for the year. And actually, from the last several years, on the 7th of December, it's going to reach opposition, which means it will rise at sunset in the east, set at sunrise in the west on that night. But also it's a bit closer than it's been. So right now, the last time it was clear and had a chance to take a peek through the Clark telescope, just stunning. The cloud bands, great red spot, of course, the moons, but it is really, really bright as well. So Jupiter and Venus, the third and fourth brightest things we see. So we have a lot of bright objects in our sky for December. And actually, which kind of ties into the Christmas star program, because a lot of folks think that that could have been a planetary conjunction. And when you see how bright Venus and Jupiter are, because again, they're brighter than any of the stars, you can kind of understand why maybe a conjunction could have been one of those things.
I'm looking at the list of what's up in the skies that we can see here in the month of December. The Orion Nebula, well-placed for observation. Do you need a telescope to be able to see that?
Binoculars will work. You can actually see it with your unaided eyes, just a little spot. Basically, if you find Orion, which is, seven really bright stars, and it's going to rise in the east around 7:30, 8 o'clock or so. But you're going to see below its belt, there's three stars that are considered a sword. And the middle one of his sword is the Orion Nebula. You can see it with your unaided eyes, just a spot. Binoculars, you'll see a little bit of a cloud there, and a telescope will give you a little bit more. But the Orion Nebula is one of the brightest deep sky objects, so really spectacular. Also, just up and to the right of that, you're going to have the Pleiades star cluster, or sometimes called Subaru or the Seven Sisters, lots of different names for it. But that's also really bright, and that's actually better in binoculars than a telescope because it covers such a large area of the sky, and binoculars give you a really good view. We say you call it the Seven Sisters, and numerous cultures have said there's seven there, but we will really only see six. So there's all lots of different stories about the missing sister, if you will. But when you look at it with binoculars, you'll see that it's actually several thousand stars in that cluster. So it's pretty amazing, and definitely something to catch in the evening sky. Winter's a great time when it's clear. You have nice, clear, cold, dark skies, and those the cold weather also tends to make the stability of the atmosphere really good. So it's a great time to get out and do some stargazing. And I do tell folks, we get lots of calls at this time of year about, I want to buy a telescope for, and then you can insert my child, my spouse, my parent. And I tell folks, shy away from those department store telescopes, the cheapies that you find, because you really want to, if you're going to get a telescope, you're going to end up spending a couple hundred bucks to get something that's reasonable. And I tell folks that, if you're not sure, start with binoculars. Mm. Binoculars are wonderful. They're sort of your first step. If you can kind of think the crawl, walk, run, crawling is learning your constellations. Walking is using those binoculars, and a telescope is running. But binoculars give you a really good idea of what you can expect to see, because telescopes aren't going to give you necessarily the views that you see in books and in pictures, because cameras, of course, can collect light and it builds and you get a different view. But binoculars will give you a reasonable idea of what to expect. There's lots of objects you can find with a good pair of binoculars. Also, if you want to do that, you can use them for other things like birding and sports watching and all those other things. But if you do want to use binoculars for astronomy, it's really good to have a tripod. because the stability, you're, you know, even if you think, even if your hands are as sturdy as a brain surgeon, they still shake and move a little bit, and that's going to be magnified by that. So putting on it on a tripod will allow you to see like those moons of Jupiter with binoculars, very easy. And a good enough pair, you might even start to see a little bit of a hair ring of Saturn, if you're getting up into like the 20 by 80 size, things like that. And the bigger ones, you definitely want a tripod, because the heavier they are, the more likely they are to shake them a bit.
We've have noted on the show, I think within the last 2 or 3 weeks, the birthdays of a couple of former astronauts. And I this happens, I don't know, 6-7 times a year. These guys in their 80s and 90s and still going strong. And it, you know, it makes you think once again that these guys did have the right stuff. So many of our astronauts from the Mercury, the Gemini, the Apollo program that have lived awfully long lives, and I don't think it's a coincidence.
It is one of those things, you know. A lot of those, the first astronauts were military test pilots, so they were extremely fit, really took good care of themselves. And of course, when you go into space, you kind of get on this regime. You're normally, at least definitely once we got to the point where we were doing, you know, like the shuttle and the space station, where you were working out several hours a day in space to keep your body in good shape. The early astronauts didn't do that because their capsules are so tiny and they didn't really think about it too much, but they weren't spending really long durations either. They're going for a few days, coming back versus, you know, but I do think, that it's one of those things that they tend to be pretty healthy. I mean, they do get more radiation exposure, so there's pros and cons on either side there, but it is pretty amazing that a lot of them, have really good longevity, if you will, in terms of that. And I mean, we still have, you know, some of the Apollo astronauts. I mean, Buzz Aldrin is still around. There's a few.
I think there's still three people that walked on the moon.
So, I mean, we still have a few left. But, it is one of those things.
Well, you mentioned the radiation exposure. Does that become a bigger concern on a much longer duration flight, like a trip to Mars and back?
Oh, definitely. In fact, it's one of the big issues with going to Mars. And even long duration on the moon is that, you know, Earth has a strong magnetic field, which protects us from a variety of harmful radiation. Those longer missions, we don't have that, and you can only do so much shielding. There's been talk with a mission to Mars where you'd use water supply, which is very, you know, which can be shielding, but it's very heavy. But, and then you'd go into a certain portion of the spacecraft, especially like right now where we've had the solar maximum. There can be a big burst, and it can really be an issue for astronauts. Right. So it is something they have to pay attention to. Low Earth orbit, you still are getting more than we're getting here at the ground, but you still have that protection. If you get outside of, you know, Earth, farther away, like to the moon or beyond, then you don't have the protection. So then you really do have to be careful of some of that radiation. And they're working on different things to try and shield from it, but it is going to be a concern for long-term spaceflight. Some of the new technologies that will have to be developed.
Sean Latch, Versant Power Astronomy Center, Jordan Planetarium. Great to see you again, Sean. Thanks
good
for coming
here.
In on a less than stellar, I see what I did there, less than stellar day out there.
Well, hope you have a great Thanksgiving, and look forward to seeing you again next month.
Well, we'll catch you before the end of the year, I hope.
Sounds good.
Sean Latch with us here on Downtown to get it underway on this Tuesday afternoon.